This is Tom Roy with radio news from Waveform's WGXC in New York. News about radio waves, transmission art, wireless surveillance, and other broadcast issues from wavefarm.org. The Federal Communications Commission's website, FCC.gov, went dark on October 1st as the federal government shut down in a congressional feud over the budget and the Republicans' attempt to defund the Affordable Health Care Act. The American Radio Relay League reports that the FCC has stopped processing new renewal or vanity call sign applications for ham radio operators at this time, though it is still possible to reserve a one-by-one special event call sign that is not an FCC function. Radio amateurs whose license expire between October 1st and the day after normal FCC operations resume may continue to operate until then, even if they have not yet filed a renewal application. At Radiosurvivor.com, Matthew Lazar says that he's seen comments on radio station Facebook pages implying that during the government shutdown, the FCC's indecency rules will not be enforced. His report says that the FCC will investigate complaints filed during this time when the government resumes operation. David Oxenford at the Broadcast Law blog says that just before the government shut down on September 30th, the FCC denied reconsideration of the last phase of the digital television transition, requiring that all low-power television stations and television translators cease analog operations and begin digitally operating by September 1st, 2015. Per the FCC's rules, the low-power FM application window, October 15th through 29th, is so far unaffected. But if the government shutdown continues through October 15th, the application window will shift dates and begin a day after the government resumes operation. Matthew Lazar at Radiosurvivor.com reports that the United Kingdom is also going through its version of low-power FM right now, the Community Radio Fund. The first round of applications went in July, and the second round begins October 9th and will close on November 6th. With the government shutdown, there is no enforcement division within the Federal Communications Commission, and no way to tell if pirate radio activity is on the increase, as the only reliable metric for measuring the amount of pirate radio activity in the United States is the Federal Communications Commission's Enforcement Division, which will not be reporting. Presumably, reports of pirate radio activity will be filed away for investigation when the federal government reopens. The American Radio Relay League reports that its volunteer examiner coordinator line is open and conducting business as usual within the constraints of the FCC shutdown. You can call 860-594-0300 for more information. The FCC's registration number system, CORS, will be unavailable during the shutdown, and the FCC will not be granting any amateur radio-related applications until it is open again for business. Amateur radio applicants who have passed an upgrade examination may still operate with their new privileges, even if their applications have not been accepted for filing by the FCC. Applicants must have a Certificate of Completion of Examination, CSCE, issued by the evaluation team. The FCC's filing window, mailroom, and all electronic filing systems will be unavailable until normal government operations resume. There's only one, quote, senior management official, unquote, in the Wireless Telecommunications Bureau, which oversees amateur radio. And so there will be little amateur radio happening from the federal government until the government shutdown ends. You can see Radiosurvivor.com, Broadcast Law blog.com, and the American Radio Relay League's website at ARRL.org for more information on all these stories. Free Speech Radio News closed Friday, September 27th. Over almost 100 Pacifica radio stations were left without a daily news source. But on Monday, September 30th, Pacifica added feature story news.
From feature story news in Washington and our bureaus around the world, this is FSN Reports. I'm Simon Marks.
Back in 2000 and 2001, Pacifica came in for criticism for using feature story news reports in its Pacifica Network news broadcasts in a labor battle between then Pacifica Network News and the new Free Speech Radio News, which was vying to take its place and eventually did. Free Speech Radio News ended September 27th because of the lack of payment from Pacifica. They were owed almost $200,000. And Feature Story News is a non-union news agency where Free Speech Radio News was a worker-owned collective. In a statement, the Free Speech Radio News Board of Directors said, Free Speech Radio News recognizes that the Pacifica affiliate stations need up-to-date news coverage to serve their audience, and we are pleased that stations will not be left in the lurch. Feature Story News will provide a distinctly different product than the progressive grassroots newscast produced by Free Speech Radio News, but we do hope that the one-month service will cover stations' immediate needs. Pacifica has publicly reiterated its intent to honor its debt obligations to Free Speech Radio News as quickly as possible, and Free Speech Radio News hopes to be positioned to provide quality content in the near future, unquote. Paul Rimsmondale at radiosurvivor.com reports that this week, North Carolina Representative Mel Watt introduced a new bill to create performance royalties for terrestrial radio. His Free Market Royalty Act would create a market wherein broadcasters and copyright holders negotiate royalty rate. This is exactly what Clear Channel has been doing recently, as the radio company has been striking deals to pay royalties for its terrestrial stations in exchange for better rates for its online iHeartRadio. But the Free Market Royalty Act participation would be compulsory for all broadcasters, including online services such as Pandora, satellite radio, and terrestrial broadcasts. You can read more about the Free Market Royalty Act at radiosurvivor.com. William Aramis at slate.com reports that Silk Road mastermind Dread Pirate Roberts was arrested on October 2nd. Ross William Ulbricht is the name of the man who ran the online anonymous marketplace from his San Francisco apartment. And Aramis at Slate tells the story of how he got caught. It seems in March of 2012, Ulbricht went onto the Stack Overflow website, where programmers ask questions of one another about coding problems. FBI investigators must have seen him type a question that said, quote, "How can I connect to a Tor hidden service using curl and PHP," unquote. Silk Road is, of course, a Tor hidden service. And then, according to the criminal complaint, Ulbricht posted that question using his own real name. Less than 1 minute later, he changed his username to Frosty. According to the criminal complaint, the encryption key on Silk Road's server ended with the substring Frosty at Frosty. Well, Silk Road was an anonymous trading service that used the online Bitcoin monetary system for funds and was used by people to buy anything anonymously, including drugs. This week in radio history, October 5th, 1945, Meet the Press premiered on the radio. October 8th, 1944, The Adventures of Ozzie and Harriet saw its debut on the CBS radio network.
America's finest silver plate is 1847 Rogers Brothers. From Hollywood, International Silver Company, creators of 1847 Rogers Brothers silver plate, presents The Adventures of Ozzie and Harriet, starring young America's favorite couple, Ozzie Nelson and Harriet Hilliard. Well, let's look in and see what the Nelsons of 1847 Rogers Road are doing. It's quite late at night. So late, I can't even see what time it is. Oh, thank you. It's 2 o'clock in the morning. And all we can hear are the customary sounds of night. The grandfather's clock in the hall, a couple of crickets chirping on the lawn, the distant screams of the pedestrians on Sunset Boulevard. We tiptoe up the carpeted stairs and peek into the bedroom. Aren't we devils?
On October 11th, 1936, the first radio quiz show, allegedly called Professor Quiz, debuted. And on October 12th, 1969, the Paul is Dead hoax about the Beatles' Paul McCartney not being alive debuted on the WKNR in Detroit. A caller called in and told DJ Russ Gibb about the rumor that had been spreading throughout the rock and roll underground. Here's some historical audio about the Paul is Dead hoax at the time in 1969.
Our pleasure to report that Beatle Paul McCartney is alive and well, and as he puts it, unconcerned about the rumors of his death.
The controversy surrounding Paul McCartney was recently the subject of an hour-long report on radio. 5AD's Martin Smith presents the evidence.
Started in Detroit, a group of university students were playing tapes backwards and forwards, different speeds. They gave their evidence to a disc jockey in Detroit. His name was Russ Gibb. And together, collectively, they thought Paul McCartney had died. I understand they still do. So people throughout the world then started to think, well, what has happened? The Beatles have made no live appearances for 3 years. There have been no records for a certain period of time in 1966. When Paul was supposed to have died, I understand he went to Africa at the time, but maybe he did have an accident of some sort. Anyway, the first record that came out after the lull of activity from Apple Records was Strawberry Fields Forever, which I understand Strawberry Fields is a graveyard on a hillside in Liverpool. Other people have told me it's an orphanage down the road from where John Lennon lived, but I think we're both right. I think if they check up as well, Strawberry Fields is definitely a cemetery overlooking Liverpool. The first LP to come out about the same time as Strawberry Fields was the Sgt. Pepper album. The cover of this, as well as some of the songs on it, is very interesting. If you look at the minute detail which is on there, you can find that the Beatles are actually gathered around what looks like a grave. This could be the grave they buried their old Sound of Music in, but it could be the grave that they buried Paul in. He's standing head and shoulders above the rest. He's meant to be a lot shorter. Around his wax model from Madame Tussauds are heads of Marlon Brando, who met a tragic death in The Wild One, and also Tom Mix, and he died in a car accident. On the back of the album, Paul has his back to us. On the inside photos, the initials OPD are on his arm. Does that mean, oh, Paul is dead? There's a guitar with left-handed strings, left-handed guitar on the around the grave. He was a left-handed four-string guitarist. So there you are, it goes from one thing to the other. And also, musically on the record, at the very end, when the needle is running over the dead surface area, waiting to be taken back by the arm, well then there's a little bit there which caught our attention, and it could be, will Paul be back as Superman? Forwards, it doesn't sound like anything too much, but perhaps backwards, that does come out. There are certain things on the Magical Mystery Tour album as well, visually and music-wise, which proved interesting. For instance, you can look at some of the photos. We're just mentioning Superman. There's a photo in there of Paul as Superman, with Superman at the driving wheel. Paul thought he was the driver. There's also a couple of shots of Paul without his shoes on, which is the mark of a corpse in Italy. His shoes are to the side of him. And the last album, which has been released here in Australia, the Abbey Road album, probably musically, we haven't been able to find too much yet. People have read certain things into certain tracks so far. But certainly the cover is rather fascinating. You have the four Beatles walking across Abbey Road, which is where the EMI recording studios are in London, where they record. John Lennon is dressed as a religious figure. Following him is Ringo. He's dressed as an undertaker. Then you've got McCartney. He's out of step and barefoot and dressed in a normal suit, the mark of the corpse again. And then follows up George Harrison as a kind of hippie gravedigger dressed in jeans. Whether this has any significance, I don't know. My theory is, for what it's worth, that Paul was close to dying at some stage. And now, when it's all over and he is better, they, and especially John Lennon, who is known to have this cynical mind, can look back on it and make one big joke out of it. I told you about the war as a mean man. You know that we're as close as can be, man. Well, here's another clue for you all. The war is with Paul.
And, almost said satisfied. It is 22 before the hour at 1 o'clock, WABC chime time. I just got a call from Georgia. Now, this doesn't mean a heck of a lot, except for the fact that the other night I got a call from Indiana. And the whole thing is about one thing. The fact that there's something very strange about the Beatle Paul. The fact that the Beatle Paul may be dead. In Indiana University, for instance, at Bloomington, there are 30 students working on a research project indicating that the Beatle Paul might be dead. I talked to them last night for an hour and a half. As a DJ on the world's largest radio station, I felt it my, business to listen to their claims. And they told me some things which shocked me, and I was up all night last night. And I promised myself that I would not say anything on WABC because I'm talking to 40 states right now, and there are a heck of a lot of people listening to this thing. And I'll surely get fired if I say anything unusual. But the fact is, folks, I've been fired anyhow. You will not hear my show after 2 weeks from now. It'll be off the air. And I'm not going to be cut now because it's 12:39 at night, and there's nobody standing by to cut the switch. But I'm going to tell you the truth. These kids at Indiana University have mentioned something very strange about Paul. And I am going to give you the things that they have mentioned. And I hope that you will remember that I told you first, because you're going to hear about this. This is making the wire services. This is making all the local radio newscasts across the country. And I know what they're talking about. It seems that there's something strange that happened to the Beatle Paul. If you will look at the Sgt. Pepper's album, the first strange thing you'll notice is that on the cover, and this may or may not be true, there's a hand over his head, somebody's right hand. This is nothing spectacular. But then you will notice, if you look to the right-hand side, there is the WMCA, which is our competition in those days. It's not now, but it was then. Welcomes the Beatles. WMCA, good guys, welcome the Beatles, right? On the other side of the Sgt. Pepper album. Okay. In the right hand of that doll is a car. The theory is that Paul the Beatle was killed or will be killed in a sports car. A white, perhaps, Corvette or something like that. I don't know what it is. But that's the doll on the front of the Sgt. Pepper's album. On the grave on the front of the Sgt. Pepper's album, there is a four-string bass, which is the instrument that Paul plays. That's on the grave. It's a left-hand bass, and that is there. I want you to notice in the Magical Mystery Tour album, the numbers that really come out, if you really get very, very high and look at the front of the album, on some, mind-bending drug, there are numbers in the title of the album.
That was WABC DJ Roby Young from October 21st, 1969, 2 weeks after the Paul is Dead rumor started on the radio on October 12th, 1969, on WKNR in Detroit. Next up, we'd like to feature a composer who uses sound waves and computer waves. In particular, Valentina Vuksic is a computer artist and programmer based in Zurich. Her work is a personal exploration of the possibilities afforded by articulated hard and software mediation. She approaches computer systems via inductive microphones for magnetic fields and uses so-called telephone adapter. Let's listen to her track, Boot on PowerBook G3. Go to archive.org and search for Valentina Vuksic for more information. Preceding show was recorded at Wave Farms WGXC in the Hudson Valley in New York State.